Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Maps Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight. I'm Kelly Rickard and I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Omar Abid.
Hiya.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, I only saw you 2 days ago, didn't I?
Yeah, what a treat for you.
I know. Yeah, so it's the first time we've actually, because we both do stand-up, but it's the first time we've been on the same lineup, isn't it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good fun.
It was a really nice little gig, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a small hipster type bar, would you say?
I would say that, yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of crammed.
Yeah, but you couldn't do mad physical stuff with your comedy.
Yeah, fortunately, I just tend to stand there. So I occasionally pace up and down a little bit. But that's, I just keep my hand gestures within a very small radius. So yeah. So it was all right.
Yeah, you did a bit of picking on the little boy behind the bar, didn't you?
Yes, without meaning to give away my material, I talked a significant amount of time talking about his erection.
Yeah, even though he's only 16. And I had a mad moment of panic where I was like, what if he's actually younger than 16, but they've let him work in the bar, so now he's got to lie about his age. He's actually like 13, and you were talking to him about his erection.
Well, when he came backstage, just to, I say backstage, it was like the storage room or something.
We were in the store cupboard, yeah.
Yeah, and he was putting back a crate, or getting a crate of drinks or something. And, you know, obviously we referenced what I'd been talking about on stage. And you were saying, hey, go on, get it out.
No, I didn't.
You said something highly inappropriate.
No, I didn't. He said, didn't he say, oh, sorry, just watch that bit. It's jutting out there, something like that. And I said, oh, yeah, like your erection. You know, call back, like comedians do.
Yeah, it was good.
It wasn't get it out. I need to keep my DBS for teaching. Yeah.
No, it was fun. It was good. You were very funny. I enjoyed
Thank
it.
Thank you. So were you. That was said with a really kind of like you didn't want to say that.
Reluctant praise, yeah. No, I enjoyed it. It was a good gig. And then, obviously, we fitted that in around maths. And this is going to be our last episode.
It is.
Wink, wink.
What's the wink, wink? Oh, because we've got a surprise.
Right.
Right, okay.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is our official last episode.
Last sort of normal episode.
Yeah, exactly. Because we're so close to the end, but I'm going on my honeymoon, as regular listeners will already know. But what we're going to miss... I'm still going to be doing the tweeting, So we're going to go right up to the end of the experiment. But we're not going to be podcasting about, I guess, final vows.
No, which is a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. But it's you know, we've done a lot. We're getting close to the end. And yeah. Plus, I want to go on my fucking holidays.
So. Yeah, I mean, you've put it off for a year. It's time for you to go, isn't
it? Yeah, definitely.
I've got a question for you before we start officially.
Okay.
Right, it's feedback week. And you have to swap. You have to go live with another woman and another man's coming into your house to live with Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it?
Does it have to be the same couple or can I cherry pick one from one couple?
No, it's got to be the same couple.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, because they were all the same couple, weren't they?
No, it was only...
Who wasn't?
It was only Leighton and Melinda who swapped directly.
They were the only direct swap, weren't they? Yeah,
which really made it stand out how much the producers wanted the drama.
Okay, then let's make it like the programme. No, you can have whoever you want.
Okay. I would go and live with Evelyn.
Yeah.
Just because she's...
For her sparkling wit.
She does seem... relatively funny.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not the reason. And I was going to say, when you said it, when we thought it might have to be the same couple, I'd be happy for Rupert to spend time with Claire.
I think you need to be careful.
Well, this is it. I'm wondering about whether to just have Harrison move in there because I know how much Harrison enrages Claire. So it'd just be funny. It'd be, for me,
yeah.
It'd be interesting. Obviously it'd be horrible for her. Ollie, I think she likes to spend time with Ollie.
It'd be easy to spend time with, I think.
Yeah, not Leighton. He's a bit dull. Duncan seems all right. Yeah, let's let Harrison.
Harrison's going to live with Claire.
Yeah. What are your choices?
I would let Evelyn nowhere near Nick. That springs to mind immediately. So that made it sound like he was a predator, and that's not how I wanted it to sound. Yeah. It's just she is otherworldly beautiful, and then you'd have to come home to me and be okay with that, and that would ruin our marriage. So I think I personally would choose to spend time with Rupert.
Of course.
Because I absolutely love him. And hopefully by the end of the 3 days, he'd be saying stuff like he says to Evelyn, like, I just fancy you all day at any time, any moment. Yeah. Choose Rupert. And then who could go live with Nick? Alyssa.
Alyssa?
Yeah, because he wouldn't be able to handle her moods.
It's weird that we've both chosen someone we don't want our partner to be able
yeah,
to...
Yeah, of course you don't. You don't want to send them someone nice and lovely and then they have to come back and be disappointed with you.
Yeah, true. But I'll back myself. I could send Duncan to live with Claire. I think she'd still choose me after having lived with Duncan for a few days. He's much better looking than me, I accept that. But I'm about 4,000 times funnier than he is. So,
okay.
And probably even more modest. Right. Should we get on with it?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, as is tradition, we're going to start with the commitment ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessie and Claire, because they were the only couple to leave. I think that was... We knew that was coming after the dinner party, didn't we?
It was on the cards after Harrison threw the grenade. Can I just say, I found it so frustrating. We will get on to Jessie and Claire. But how Harrison wasn't really pulled up on his behaviour by the experts.
Right.
I found the commitment ceremony really frustrating. And then, on top of that, Jessie again saying, she cheated on me. And Claire again saying, I'm sorry. Like, I couldn't. I was like, why is she not screaming in his face? It was only a kiss! I couldn't hear that anymore.
Yeah, but what else is he meant to say? They're forced to rehash the same thing a million times.
Yeah, but he could say it in a different way. Like, oh, I realise it was only a kiss and that I've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, but they're never going to leave that in, are they? They're never going to say... Oh, yeah, please talk more about how repetitive the TV programme is.
Nobody can say, I realise it was only a kiss and I was being horrible to her at the time and she has really apologised. Mm-hmm. Like, he could have shoehorned some of that in instead of saying again, she cheated on me, it's been really hard. And
yeah, well, as we've discussed, there's been people online who think Jesse's playing the victim. And I don't think he's playing the victim. I think he's where he is. He's sort of stuck in the process because, let's remember, she put stay and he put leave.
Mm.
And it keeps being talked about. It's hard for him to move on from it if, like, he probably is sick of talking about himself. But when you sat on the couch there and they're asking you what's going on and Harrison's saying, what do you think of the dinner party? No wonder he didn't want to go on the boys' night this week, because it's like, fucking hell, do I have to talk about this again?
The other thing is as well with Harrison's connection to Claire and Jesse. Harrison had said at the dinner party, well, I know from Bronte that Claire said to Bronte that she was only staying in the process to redeem her image. Not one person, not one of the experts brought that up. Not one person said, let's go to Bronte. Did Claire say this?
Yeah, let's go to Bronte, who's just looking wildly panicked. Because Harrison kept saying that it's true. No one ever went to Bronte and said, did you go and talk to Claire?
Yeah.
What did you say? It was just sort of left. And again, a common thing online is that the experts haven't been going after Harrison enough. But I would counter with, what is their role on the programme? Their role isn't to be like, let's make sure everyone's friends. It's to counsel the couples that are involved. When Harrison and Bronte are there, sat in front of them, they will talk about their relationship. I think John, in particular, when he said, I want to say this to the group, but in particular Harrison, that your words have consequences kind of thing.
Yeah.
You did a bit of a Cam's mum things, words can hurt.
Words can hurt. But I actually have
more respect for John than I do for Cam's crazy mum. So like, how much do you expect them to do? They're not going to run over and start twatting Harrison.
No, see, now I think this is a big difference between the Australian production and the British one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think on the British couch, they would have been called to account. And I think actually we see and hear a lot more from the experts in the British one. And I think the experts are more fairly represented in the British one. I would hazard a guess that the production team is very heavily male in Australia, because Alessandra and Mel barely made the edit in that commitment ceremony.
Really?
That's so rare compared to the British one, which I always feel really tries hard to be fair between the three judges in terms of their exposure.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we've not seen as much of Mel.
And I love her.
And yeah, totally. She's definitely one of our favourites.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've had her, I had her on here. She very, very kindly offered to come on.
And her, when she kind of calls the boys to account, that's some of my favourite
it's awesome.
Stuff.
Like, yeah. I was thinking, like, especially with all this gaslighting thing going on, I was thought, I'm going to get some great stuff from Mel. And we did. We had some snippets. But yeah, now you say it did seem to be more John-centric.
It's very John-centric. All John has to do to make the edit is put his chin up in the air. You know how he does, like, he smells something off, he goes like that, and then it's over to John.
But now you say it, I suppose it's Mel in particular, because I know when I've been doing the tweets, I've definitely got a few of Alessandra's facial expressions. I would have liked to have seen a bit more of Mel this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she did say loads of mad shit.
Did say brilliant stuff,
but maybe it was cut out because she was, you want to keep the drama going, don't you? And Mel actually being a bit more aggressive and forceful with the guys, like, how much of that does that facilitate the entertainment value of the programme?
I guess, like, if Mel was to really put Harrison in his place, then all of that stuff on social media about, is he bad, isn't he, that would be put to rest, because it would be like, well, Mel said he's bad, so he definitely is.
Yeah, there's no good having a villain who week after week is just chastised.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed it.
You need a villain to be like, keep building their villainy, you know, if you look at it in terms of storylines.
Were you sad that Claire and Jesse left?
Yes and no. I think they were right to leave. I think if Jesse had had this experience earlier in his life, as in a relationship that was promising, but things went wrong, rather than the, it just sounds like he had bad relationships previously.
Or he was kept in a cupboard.
Yeah, exactly. Harry Potter style. I think if he'd have had this type of relationship earlier, he would have learned from it. And then when he'd come on the show, I think he would have been a more rounded product. So he would have learned that you can't be as rude as he was to Claire in the beginning. He would have learned that it was just a kiss. I can either move past it or I can't.
Yeah.
Without moving past it, and then one person, Harrison, says one thing, and he suddenly, the whole thing crumbles.
Yeah.
You know, because as much as he tried, it was all, the foundations were still rocky. So I think they were maybe only ever going to be friends, because I'm not sure he in particular was ready. Or maybe just the chemistry wasn't there. They'd be great friends, but they're never going to be more than that. So, you know, like I say, he wanted to leave at the very beginning. He wanted to leave at the previous commitment ceremony. And there's no more she can do. She has accepted, she has owned her, you know,
she
actions.
Handed him a whip and took it over and over and over again.
But I don't think he was the one whipping her.
Oh, he was a bit. He was a bit. I'm sad that they've left as individuals, because I found them both. I found him entertaining and funny and sometimes confusing. But Claire, I actually thought, I think she's really inspiring, because I'm somebody who, I'm a bit scared of confrontation. She is not. She doesn't hide behind other people. She will articulate her feelings to people's faces, regardless of what the fallout's going to be. And the way she handled things with Jesse, yes, she made a mistake, but the way she owned up to it and kept apologising, but not, it was a proper apology. I think she was brilliant. I'm really sad that we won't see her anymore.
Well, yeah, not see her until two nights later at the girls' night.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Yeah. Well, they were like, Claire's gone, so now nothing's happening. We need to bring them. Let's bring them back.
Yeah.
So then we had a new thing. We had feedback week.
Mixed reviews.
From the contestants or from people on social media?
People on social media, and I was kind of a bit iffy with it. I will say, it's such a long series that every year there's a point where you think, oh, this episode's a bit dull, that episode's a bit dull. And that's happened previously this year, but then the last 25 minutes, some crazy shit will happen. It's like, and you forget that the previous hour wasn't that entertaining. But feedback week, I don't know, it just felt... Especially because we mentioned earlier that it really felt a bit forced that they'd swapped Leighton and Melinda deliberately with Harrison and Bronte.
Yeah.
And there were no other direct couple swaps in that way. So it just felt like, oh, this is just blatantly to stir some drama. And there was so much Harrison stuff that, obviously he's been a dick throughout the series. But there were other things going on. There was Caitlin and Shannon, Dan and Sandy, Janelle and Adam. But this last couple of weeks have been very heavy. Yeah, Harrison. I'm getting sick of tweeting about him, but it's just all the Harrison show. But just generally, it was like they did a similar thing. It didn't seem as contrived, where, you know, you'd go on a date with them or something. You didn't have to spend 3 days with them.
I don't know. I quite liked it.
Okay.
I think they
should delete all that.
No, you're allowed your opinion, but you're wrong. No, I liked it. I thought, because I was getting bored.
Right.
And obviously, you are a slightly bigger fan of the programme than me. I was later coming to the programme than you, and I was just like, I cannot watch another week that follows the same structure where Harrison just ruins a dinner party again. And so I was like, oh, something new to think about and discuss. And yeah, and then I was really, really surprised by kind of what it prompted, particularly with Mel and Leighton.
Yes.
His response really surprised me.
Yes, and this was a learning opportunity for me, actually, because I was surprised by my own response to their responses.
Oh, go on, tell me.
Well, firstly, do you think he should have just done the task?
Yeah.
Why?
Because everybody else was, and because I think he misunderstood what the task was.
Totally.
He thought Harrison was going to come in and have sex with Mel, and that he was going to have to go and have sex with Bronte.
Yes.
He misunderstood what it was about.
And no matter how many times it was explained to him by Mel, he just didn't seem to... He couldn't get it through his head.
Yeah, no, he couldn't.
It's like, mate, you're just going to go stay with someone else for three and spend time with them.
Yeah.
You don't have to... You're not now married to them.
Yeah.
It's just a sleepover. You, like, Ollie slept on the settee while Lyndall had the bed. It wasn't a wife swap.
And
thing.
It was annoying the way he kept trying to take the moral high ground with it, and then was the first to shove his partner under the bus when he was chatting with Bronte. Like, I wasn't sure about that. It was like, no, morally this is wrong. Another man coming here, me going, oh, but now I'm going to sit with Bronte and say, yeah, actually, she is, Mel's full of red flags. And
exactly. I don't know why he kept going on about his principles. And what principle, that you have this long-held principle of when you're on a reality TV show about marriage. That you, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It's not crossing some boundary about, you know, thou shalt not kill.
No.
It's like, just go and stay in an apartment on the next floor down.
Yeah.
And just ignore Bronte because she's a dickhead. And this is the thing. Just do it because it's part of what you signed up for. You know that they're swapping you with those people for drama, but you're not even getting the worst end of the stick.
No.
Mel is.
Yeah.
Right. We'll come back to Leighton because I've still not told you my learning
that
I had from it. But another thing was, people are saying he was getting annoyed and he didn't want to do it because some people have speculated that there is a sexual romantic spark between Harrison and Mel.
Of course people are going to think that, because romantic comedies from the beginning of time have shown us this stupid narrative of a couple that starts off hating each other and by scene three they're in bed together. Has that ever happened to you in real life? You hate a woman. You literally hate her. And then you end up having sex with her and get married and have babies.
No, but, you know, as we discussed last week about, or the week before about Dan, when, you know, how did you suddenly find someone attractive?
This is different.
It is different.
This is totally different. This is, you hate this person. You properly hate them.
But this is it. Do you think then Melinda properly hates Harrison?
Yeah.
I do. I don't buy it that there's sexual... There is tension between them.
Of course
he
fancies her. He's stupid.
Yeah, and she might, on a physical level, find him attractive. I don't think so either. Now that she knows his personality, I think even if she might have initially, that's definitely gone. I just think there's tension there because they know they hate each other. They're forced to spend time together. It's awkward. So they make sort of jokes and things like that. And Leighton was just making it worse by having absolutely no sense of humour.
It's so weird.
Like, I understand that some people had agreed with him when he said he was being mocked. And fair enough, he was being mocked, because at first I thought, no, he's not. They were slightly.
They were, but what else could they do? Because his reaction was so big.
Yeah.
Like,
it was such mild mockery.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, it's keys in a bowl stuff. Because it's, everyone there knows that it's not keys in a bowl stuff. You're the only one who thinks
it's
that. Yeah,
and it's the obvious reference to make to diffuse the tension here. What else could they? Of course you'd make that joke.
Yeah, he's dug his heels in. I think we've seen, actually, he's stubborn, which is something that's been said by Mel quite a lot before. But I actually think he's got a temper on him.
Mm.
And which I've not noticed before. And this is probably the learning.
Oh, thank God, we've got there.
My learning was to keep my discussions brief. The response that Mel had when she was really upset, and she's like crying and going, oh, I'm so upset. My initial thing about that was, it bugged me. It annoyed me.
Okay.
And I was sort of on, not that I was on his side, but I thought, just because you react in that type of emotional way, that doesn't mean you're right.
No, absolutely.
But really what you should have done is, Leighton, they should have just dropped the argument for a minute. And Leighton should have given her a hug. Everything calms down. Then they can get back to the rational discussion that they're having.
I knew the word rational was coming.
No, but the thing is, he isn't being rational either.
No.
Just because he thinks he is. And I think I'm actually like this.
Okay.
I think because I'm not shouting or crying or screaming or whatever. But actually, I know that I'm not in control of my emotional state. It's just that my emotional state is to be like, is to shut down a bit, and it's colder, but it's no less emotional.
Absolutely. I think that's why it's weird that the experts were saying to him, you're not in touch with your emotions. He absolutely is. He's just not expressing them in a way that another man or a woman might.
But I think he thinks he is in touch with his emotions, but he's not. Otherwise, why would he need the day?
The day. The day was punishment. It was definitely punishment.
Yeah.
He might not have realised, but that's what he was trying to do.
Yeah. So I initially put that I didn't like her response and it bugged me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it overnight and I talked to Claire about it and I realised that.
You were wrong.
I was wrong, yeah, basically.
Was that when Claire told you?
Yeah. When I had to sleep on the windowsill. So then I did another tweet the next day saying, oh, I've had a change of heart about this and rethought it. But the interesting thing, I think, is that, right, given that they're both emotional responses, Melinda's emotional response is crying and, you know, she's almost hyperventilating. Leighton's emotional response is to sort of shut down and be a bit eggy, you used to say. Like, but one of those gets a lot more sympathy than the others, than the other.
Not necessarily, because you didn't give sympathy to Mel.
Yeah, fine, but I would say I'm an outlier because the general response, and there were people who agreed with me when I criticised her, and I never thought she was doing it as a tactic.
No, it wasn't a tactic.
Yeah, she was clearly very upset. It still just annoyed me. Like, but I would say it was 70-30 in favour of her, like, sympathy. Yeah. And that's probably being generous to Leighton. It was probably more 75-80%.
Yeah. So, I know, I get what you're saying. I took it very much as they're both really upset here. They're just displaying it in different ways.
Yeah. Well, she's very confrontational, whereas he thinks he's rational and needs some time. And I guess this is the best example we've had of this lack of communication style.
Yeah. I had a learning too, because I was watching Mel and I was like, that was me 20 years ago. I could cry to the point of hyperventilating at the drop of a hat. Not to act, that's genuinely how emotional I was. And then I was like, when was the last time I cried? And I thought, oh my God, I must be like repressing like mad. Or I'm just happy, but I don't know. It scared me a bit. I was like, oh, I used to be like that.
Well, to me, I don't know what to do when someone's like that.
Of course you don't.
can you just calm the fuck down? I don't know, you're really making me really uncomfortable.
Leighton was good in that moment, I thought. He was holding her hand, he didn't try and walk out, he didn't, you know, he wasn't trying to gaslight or anything. He kind of sat with it. That's what I keep hearing on all the parenting forums.
But then he did say, I still need the day though.
Oh God, I know.
So, I think we should move on to the cause of all the conflict. Harrison coming in. He's got some balls. I got to respect him for that. Just sat in front of him just going, you guys don't agree about anything.
he's like a weird teenage brother, isn't he? That's just there to wind up people. That's his sole purpose, and it makes him really happy.
Yeah.
And people want to be better and think, he's not going to bug me this time. 2 minutes later, it's worked again.
Yeah, you can tell Harrison loves winding people up, and the perfect example of that was on the boys' night when he was just winding Adam up, clearly because he knew he'd get a bite from him. He's turning to other people, winking and smiling, and then turning back to Adam and going, you need to take accountability. You need to own it, bro. Just
like... And it's that smile all the time, isn't it, when he knows he's really upset somebody. It's bizarre, though.
Well, it is bizarre. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but he seems to certainly get... I mean, he's literally said it at the dinner party that when he was talking to Lyndall, like, couldn't you go and do some accounting remote, you know?
I know, but for me, I can kind of understand where he's coming from with the rest of the group in poking fun or stoking the flames of the fire, but I don't understand the way he is with Bronte. I don't understand that at all. And what do you think of her?
I've lost virtually all sympathy that I had for her.
Why?
Because she keeps going, I'm done, and then coming back. I have such mixed feelings about this moment, but the original thing was, it really made me laugh. When she went to Harrison after the girls' night and said, they were all asking about my motivations and, you know, is it fake, is it not? Expecting some reassurance from Harrison. He said, well, it doesn't sound like they were attacking you. It sounds like they had reasonable questions.
I know.
And then he says, if you spend weeks on end bad-mouthing your husband, talking about emotional manipulation, gaslighting, calling him every name under the sun, and then you stay, don't be surprised if it bites you in the ass.
I know, but you're talking about you.
Yeah, he's criticising her for staying with him.
I know. So, yeah. I still don't know. I don't think we'll ever know what Bronte's thinking.
I don't know if she knows what she's thinking.
Yeah.
I think she's probably got muddled between a lot of things. We spoke about whether it's just to get Instagram followers, to be on TV. Did she want a relationship? Did she want to become a celebrity? I think it's all of these things, and she's tried to play some kind of And they all go in wanting to give the best version of themselves or hopefully get something out of it, whether that be a relationship or fame. So you're going to go in with a certain front you want to put on. You do that with a person you meet in normal life, don't you? You just meet your... you put on your best...
You try, yeah.
Yeah, but she's got muddled between wanting to do so many things that none of it's working.
Okay, yeah.
So it all just looks like... It all seems very, very fake, which it is, you know. She should have left ages ago. I'm not even sure they're going to leave now.
No, I think they'll stay.
Do you?
Yeah.
He said unequivocally.
Yeah, no, they're going to stay. He's going to put stay, just because he's a wind-up merchant, and that's the biggest wind-up of all, isn't it? No, I'm leaving. I'm staying.
Bronte keeps saying she's done, but she's obviously going to be back.
Yeah. That's not the last we've seen of her, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, the dinner party where it was framed, that shot between Melinda and Leighton, and Harrison was just on the opposite side of the table,
yeah,
just with his arms crossed, smirking. It was beautiful cinematography.
I mean, one of the worst things he did was when he said to Leighton about how him and Mel had been up drinking wine till 3
yeah,
in the morning,
yeah,
or whatever. I was like, ow.
Yeah.
You're trying to hurt now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's true? Because again, it wasn't denied.
Oh, might have been.
Yeah. Seems strange, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's the one thing where I think, oh, wow, maybe there is some credence to the...
They don't fancy each other. He fancies her, she doesn't fancy him.
Yeah, he's just trying to get a boost up.
Yeah. Bronte was weird, though, with Leighton. Well, I don't know if weird's the right word, but she really did... I don't know what it felt like, unless it was the way it was edited, that she really did want to cause some trouble with Leighton and Mel.
Yeah. She's been a mini Harrison.
Yeah.
And trying to stir things up, saying that she thinks Melinda had gaslit him.
I know.
I don't know if she knows what's going on.
No.
She's just wildly looking around the room all the time, panicked.
I know, bless her.
Bless her.
No, I do. I think whatever's going on, it hasn't worked the way she wanted it to. I don't think she's necessarily a bad person, and we've seen her be upset quite a bit, and that's not nice. I don't think she's as manipulative as Harrison. I don't think she's as aware of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she's been completely emotionally manipulated. I don't mean that, but I think how confusing he is and what a wind-up merchant he is, that's got to be really difficult to live with.
Yeah, well, he's just not into the relationship, so it's not... Behind closed doors, I don't imagine there's any affection or anything like that. I think he is just there to have fun, and his having fun is being with the other people and winding them up.
Yeah.
So there's not much else there for...
The dinner party when Mel was like, your wife's not here, why are you here? And he was like, can't I meet up with my friends? And then it cut to Tani and Ollie, and she went, he's not my friend, is he your friend? And he went, well, he's a guy.
He uses the language of abuse or whatever that is. I don't know how to say it, these buzzwords of like, when he's saying, I feel like I'm being attacked. It's like, you're not being attacked. They're just asking where Bronte is. she's your wife and you were the last one seeing her. He goes, well, that I can speak to, but I don't need to be reminded who she is. I know she's my wife. When you say you feel attacked, it does stop people from...
Yeah.
Even if they're asking legitimate questions.
Yeah, but he's the king of deflection, isn't he? He's actually really good at it. Like, whatever is put on him, he can spin it back around, and all of a sudden there's people breaking up all around him. Just the flames of destruction burning around him.
Big thing at the dinner party, which Harrison, as I say, got involved in, because he felt poor Cam was being ganged up on, was Cam and Lyndall.
Yeah, I am so intrigued by this couple. I've been looking forward to talking to you about this one, because even before we got to the dinner party, I noticed when Lyndall moved in with Ollie that there was just a different energy about her. She was really happy, she was really chilled, and I thought, there is that thing where you can really like somebody, like she really likes Cam, but they're not good for you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel with those two, because I really like Lyndall. Mm-hmm. I think she's lovely. She's authentic. She's empathetic with the other people, supportive. I feel like she looks for reasons to be happy. But I feel very much that Cam has always had the upper hand in the relationship, and her mood depends very much on where his mood is. This was before we got to the dinner party.
Yes.
And I felt like a few weeks ago we saw something in him just switch off. Because mm-hmm. he was definitely into her in the beginning, like yeah. the wedding ceremony and all of that. And then something just kind of switched off, and he wasn't showing affection and all of this stuff. And then at the dinner party, I mean, what a bombshell to drop yeah. that this job that he's got out in the bush. It's not just weeks at a time, it could be a year, and he wouldn't even be able to text. I mean, that's bollocks, right?
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, there must be ways of staying in contact with people this day.
What does he do?
Well, this is what...
Can we clarify?
Yes, this came up on Twitter because a lot of people were saying, what does he do? Does he, like, he's a carpenter. Apparently, he builds infrastructure for indigenous communities.
Oh, God. Well, yeah. That's a really brilliant, noble job, isn't it?
So, it is something which is worthwhile. And obviously, by its very
that's
nature, he's in remote areas.
Okay.
But still, why did you come on the show? I struggle to believe that, like, this was something that he's just suddenly come upon that opportunity. Maybe he did. It was only just offered to him around the same time as he was given a position on maths. But the killer blow was the, you said you'd move for love to the...
I know.
And he just didn't get what he'd said in the moment. It's yeah. like, yeah, I did say I would move for love,
yeah.
but I don't want to move.
I know. And John the expert went, it's like Cam doesn't quite understand what he's saying. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for her. But I just think she can do better.
So do I.
It's the top and bottom of it. Even if he was staying, if he lived in Perth, I think she's from. Even if he lived in Perth, I bet there's blokes within a 5-minute walk that it would be better for her than
yeah,
Cam.
I totally agree. And I don't normally buy into that, oh, she could find somebody better. But he's not that into her.
Yeah.
And she's got so many amazing qualities, and she's really attractive, and she's a lovely person, and you can just kind of see her crumbling next to him.
I don't see what he brings to it.
No, and there's little naggy things about him, like when he was paired with Alyssa, and the producer said, how's it going with Alyssa? And with a really cheeky face, he went, very well, actually. And I thought, why are you doing that? Why are you trying to make it sound like actually you fancy Alyssa? And
yeah.
He's a bit too old school Crocodile Dundee Australian bloke for me.
Right, okay. You think he needs to broaden his horizons a bit?
I just think I reckon he does what Nick does sometimes, which really bugs me. Sometimes when we're in the house together, me and Nick, he will play to an invisible male audience that isn't here. Right? So he'll make a really chauvinist joke and I'm like, did you think I was going to laugh at that? It's like he thinks his friends are watching. And I get that vibe from Cam.
Right,
that
okay.
Like, yeah, me and Alyssa are getting on really well. Who are you talking to? The invisible male audience. Do you know what I mean?
I sort of do, because I think I sort of do that.
Oh, don't.
No, but Claire, I think, knows that I'm doing it as a joke.
Yeah, oh, all right, your marriage is better.
Or maybe Nikki's trying to teach your son the right way to deal with
how he does talk about when he's older he's going to join Team Notch, because that's what Nick's friends like to call themselves.
Oh, right.
As fully in, grown married men. Team Notch, as in how many notches on the bedpost can we get?
That's not good banter.
It's awful. And they call themselves the Jolly Boys.
The Jolly Boys.
I've got very little time for them. I don't mind them individually, but en masse they're unbearable.
I think that's true of most groups of lads. Like, I love it. I'm going to a stag soon, and I can't wait, because it's going to be just the chance to act like an idiot without anyone judging me for it, and actually being encouraged for acting like an idiot.
Yeah, and being applauded for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I do see that in Cam. I see what you mean.
Yeah,
Ollie of Ollie and Tani. He could be an expert.
I like that now we only know who he is if you say the full title.
he could be an expert if he got any airtime, you know. But I know. He was asking some good questions.
He was. It makes me laugh because, I mean, the first week I was like, he reminds me of a John Hughes character from an 80s film. But now he started to dress like one as well. he asks some very probing questions, doesn't he?
Yeah, he did ask some good questions. He always seems to ask them in a reasonable way as well. It's not, you know, they're just nice people and kind of well-centred.
He is trying to audition for acting work, though. He's constantly doing impressions and voices and accents.
I mean, they're good. The Steve Jobs thing was quite good, I thought.
I've had a bit of a cynical thought, though, about Ollie and Tanny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if cynical is the right word, but they're clearly very happy and I think they're genuine about liking each other. I don't know if they fancy each other that much.
Really?
Yeah. Like when she came back from the 3 days away, they didn't have a kiss. They had a cuddle.
Oh, right.
Like
okay.
Pals might. And they call each other mate and bro. And
yes, you brought that up before.
It freaks me out, that. But yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
And on the couch when they talked about love, it was that wishy-washy, you know, I hate this, wishy-washy. Well, it's not love yet, but we're on our way there.
Right,
I don't know. I never really, maybe because that's not how it was for me. I don't really understand people who aren't in love yet, but we might be one day.
Right.
What's that? What is that?
Well, I think that is because of how it happened for you, seeing Nick walk on stage and you're like...
Oh, shut up. Just... But even before Nick, I've always been very sure of my feelings either way. I haven't been like, oh, I really like this person. And if we spend more time together, I might love them. But then I saw a Jay Shetty video the other day, right, which I thought was really interesting because he said, we all bandy this word love around.
Right.
But who's to say that? So say love to me might mean a lifelong marriage. Love to you might mean sleeping with somebody one night.
Okay.
So, like, we don't know what we mean when we say it. We don't quantify it in the same way. So maybe that's it as well. But to me, love should feel... It should knock you off your feet.
Right, okay.
And how long have they been together, sleeping together? And if they're still in that, we might love each other. I don't know.
Because I've always been fairly hesitant in relationships.
Of course you have, Mr. Rational.
So I sort of get it. You, like, you reassess constant... reappraisal of your position.
That's not love, is it? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because if you do the reappraisal and you think, you know, on balance, the balance sheet is we're in the black. So
oh
let's
my
go.
God.
No, I don't.
It must have been different with Claire, though.
This is what I was going to say. It's not like that now because once you get past a certain threshold. You think, threshold.
I'm really worried. Like, Claire's going to listen to this and be like, can we talk about this? What did you mean?
No, I mean that, like, well, it's just dating, isn't it? You don't, it's, I think it would be rare to go on two dates with someone and be like, oh, we're in love, we're going to spend
No, I didn't, month. God, I didn't say that. I didn't say that to him. I kept it very hidden.
But you knew, though.
I was very, very sure that I hadn't felt like that before and that this was going to be something wildly different to the other relationships I'd had.
With Claire, I knew I hadn't felt like that before, but that's no reason to be a mental case.
I wasn't mental.
All right.
You're just jealous because you found a companion. No, I just... It's weird when people are like... Do you see it with Tani and Ollie, though? They've been together that closely and that intense... And they're like, we don't love each other, we might be on our way to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know what you mean, and they're so young, I just sort of feel like... I think they will be together at the end of this process.
Yeah, but will it last?
That's the thing. But then, you know, how do you know with any relationship, really? I think I think it's unlikely just because they're so young, and you probably have... Most people probably have, you know, 2-3 big relationships in their lives, don't they?
Yeah, they are very young.
So just statistically, it's... Probably not.
But also, their youth is another thing that makes me think, why aren't they just wildly, daftly falling in love? Because it's generally older people who've been hurt that go, I'm not going to rush into it this time and I'm not going to...
Mm-hmm. But they've done all the Tinder stuff. That was at the very beginning. They were saying that, you know, they've kind of been through the dating world and just not found it to be what they wanted. So, you know, they were kind of older souls.
Yeah, and I've got, I mean, I have got double standards because I wouldn't I always had a thing that I wouldn't trust somebody that said they loved me in the very early stages. I'll just be like, that, you can't, that's nonsense. Whilst quietly thinking, I think I may, but no.
Another couple, I suppose, then, that I've not been sure about, Rupert and Evelyn.
Yeah, I love them.
Do you think they're going to last?
I want them to. I think they'll last the series.
Right.
And then I don't know about Final Vows.
Rupert has been the only bloke who's called out Harrison to his face.
Yes.
It's very impressive.
Very impressive.
There's one common denominator in this drama, and it's you.
I love that.
I put in my tweet, like, does anyone remember that guy at the wedding who couldn't speak? As you said, she talked to him and you just go, hello?
Yeah. But that's what a few nights with Evelyn can do for you, you see. He's a man now.
You see, I think this is unfair, because other people have said that Evelyn's rubbing off on him. So that's, I think that might be unfair to Rupert. He might have always been like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But now he's got the confidence to air that side of himself.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I'm living my best life. Oh, look how hot Evelyn is.
He can't believe it, can he? And when they were on the couch and she said she was attracted to him, he was so buzzing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good. I just don't know if I see that. I suppose this is maybe what you're talking about, that real intense spark.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I see that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I see that from them. So I think it could go either way. They might be together at the end.
When they were trying to get them to be very specific about what they'd done physically, he was like, well, I've slapped her on the arse and we've kissed.
We've kept one of the big stories for the end, Alyssa and Duncan. Commitment ceremony. She did it. She said the infamous phrase we've heard a lot of, I have a child.
Yes.
What are your feelings on how she has handled this?
All of it. How she's handled all of it. When I'm watching it, I'm watching it thinking, oh, I wonder what Omar's thinking of this bit. And I thought, I bet he absolutely hates Alyssa, because she's everything you hate, isn't she? She's emotional and she's a mother.
White.
Yeah, all of those things. Here's what I think.
Hang on she, for a second. Sorry, I just let that go. She's someone you think I hate mothers.
I was just making a joke, but it went over your head. Yeah. I'm used to it with male audiences. It's fine. Save it for the girls. I think she's going to be painted to be this awful villain. I think she's a victim of trauma and she's frightened of abandonment. So she is pushing Duncan as hard as she possibly can to see when he'll break and when he'll leave, just to make herself feel safe. That's what I think she's doing. The I have a child thing, I've spoken about this openly. Being a mother makes you completely irrational, because it is a feeling.
Can you imagine if I said that?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to, because you're not a parent and not a woman. It makes you completely irrational, because it's a love that it totally floors you. Hormonally as well, like it just does. And your primary instinct is to be with that being and protect them against all costs. So to choose to walk away from them, knowingly walk away from them for how many years long is this experiment? But like, it's long. That's gonna leave you with some huge mom guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be really hard to sit with and live with. So that's there. But I think more than that, she likes Duncan. She's really scared that she likes him. So she's pushing him, and it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. She's just pushing him away.
Well, it's definitely becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. Does she like him that much? She told all the girls at the retreat that he's not her type.
Yeah, but like in your book, you just wait a few years, go on a few dates, see if it starts to change.
But he's not. He has done everything perfectly by the book, apart from maybe that one time he said, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah, even though
he shouldn't have really apologised then at all anyway.
He's been amazing.
Yeah. So it's like, what else does she want from him? It's fine, she's a trauma. Yeah, she's self-sabotaging, all this sort of stuff. But, well, there's a point where you either break that pattern or you just don't end up with a successful relationship.
I agree.
And she's not going to end up with a successful relationship.
I agree.
Like, When she said, "I have a child," at the commitment ceremony, and then left in tears and got in the lift, you know, he was just stood there as the lift doors are closing. Alessandra turned to Mel and goes, like, "What is the issue?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Oh, she's missing a child," which is true, but...
No, that wasn't all of it, though. Was it? Like, that's... They made it about the missing the child, but that's not what she was saying. She mm-hmm. was saying how... She wanted to know, basically, that he was ready to be a dad, I think.
But he'll... No, because he can never know that, because he'll never understand. He will never understand what it's like to be... Is he infertile or something? Like, what's the... He can only do as much as he's doing.
I agree.
Like, and she's still just going to go, "Well, you're not a parent, so you don't understand." Well, I guess you're going to have to limit your dating pool to single dads then.
Yeah.
But then even then, there will be an issue.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to give up. You don't want to take the chance on someone, even when it's a clear winning bet.
Yeah. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. If I was him, I'd be out of there.
Yeah.
You can't stick it. But I think it's sad because... I don't think she's an evil person. I think she needs some help. I think she needs some therapy and some time. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's going to walk away before that happens. But yeah, I'm not prepared to call her a villain because I don't think she is.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think she is. See, the thing is, I do agree with you, but and this is again something that's come up online is people saying she needs therapy. I personally feel uncomfortable saying that because I don't know enough about.
So you just want to call her a villain instead?
Yeah, it's easier. It's much easier. And look, she might need therapy, and I do agree she has problems which she needs help with, whether that be professional therapy or not. I don't know. But both things can be true. All that can be true, what I've just said. And she's also just fucking annoying. Which she is. She is annoying.
What? In what way, though?
In the way that he will say to her, when you're having these, you know, you need time to get your head together and all this. Be it one day. Like, how long is that gonna take? You know, well, it changes. It can change moment to moment. I need as long as I need. Like, well, what do I do in that time? Just sit and wait for you. Yes, that is annoying. That is annoying. That's an unreasonable thing,
to
expect from
it
someone.
It is unreasonable.
And like he gave her the awesome photo shoot that he did with Evelyn. He didn't seem to have well more fun with Evelyn. Like I've never seen him like really laugh or smile.
No,
that much.
It's true. It kind of mirrored that thing that I saw with Lyndall,
yes.
Where they're happier once you take them out of their relationship, which yeah. It should never be.
Yeah. He has, because early on, him and Alyssa were all right. So it's not true that I haven't seen him laugh and smile and things, but he seemed a lot easier with Evelyn.
Yeah.
You know, it just did. He was doing the whole bake-off thing with the
yeah,
mix.
Yeah, I know, and I like him. I do like Duncan. I just think it can't work while she's in that headspace. It can't.
No.
And that, you know, he's just going to get more confused and more hurt.
I think... It's going to be, do you think they'll stay?
Yeah.
Do you? Mm-hmm. I was my dark horse for them leaving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who will put leave?
Well, they'll both have to.
Oh, yeah, of course. But who, do you think there's any place in which one of them will write leave and one of them will write stay?
There is. I suspect he'll write leave and she'll write stay. I'd have a lot of respect for him. Well, I already have respect for Duncan because
he's handled himself really well.
Yeah, but I don't think, like, he can... I think he's got a good assessment of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, when he said at the commitment ceremony, I don't think it's about that I went to play tennis. I think that Alyssa is insecure and she's manifesting that by picking out little things in my behaviour, which isn't fair. He gave a really sound assessment of what's going on. And she didn't like it. And she didn't like that no one else was on her side.
No.
The expert sided with him. Then he tries to comfort her. And she did what she always does. She pulled away and went, you know, don't touch me, please.
Yeah.
You know, because she can't stand that she's just in the wrong.
Yeah. I think in her mind, he was gaslighting her there. Because she was really trying to say that it had hurt her that they hadn't spent that time together. And he was going, yeah, you're mental. So that's what I think was going on for her. But yeah, from an outsider looking in, she was being very unreasonable.
Yeah. It's not that I don't like... Well, I do not like her on a, you know, entertainment level. She is a villain for me. But I just think, yeah, you're gonna end up in not happy or no relationship at all if you don't change your ways. Alyssa.
Because she definitely listens to this podcast.
Yeah. She'll take my advice to heart, I'm sure. Okay, so that's it for this episode and this series. Again,
yeah.
Wink, wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink.
We've enjoyed it. It's been fun.
It's been... Personally, like in our personal lives with work and stuff, it's been the most intense one, hasn't it? Trying to fit this one in.
Do you think?
For me, definitely.
Well, yeah, for you. Okay. I found it. I think the very first one we did, we were surprised how successful it was. So suddenly going from, all right, we'll just record this and see how it goes, to the first night getting thousands of likes on Twitter and things.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck do we do with this? I don't, my phone's not got enough battery to deal with it. But now this is our third series, I think. And yeah, it's been great. I think it's been good. I've really enjoyed the interactions with everyone.
Yeah.
All our Twitter followers doubled. It's been good. And we're going to be back.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to be back in the autumn with the UK version. Yeah. Hopefully 2 episodes a week.
Yeah, that's what you're angling for.
Kelly wants to drop to a half an episode a week.
Yeah. Should we just do 1 episode at the end of the series? Yeah. No, I do love it. I love this. And I love the nice people on social media. I don't know how many times I've woken up to, he's vile, on my Instagram, though. That trying to keep Instagram nice, that's gone now. It's just gone to the dogs.
Well, what I'm going to do, though, is because, as I say, I will still be tweeting for most of the rest of the series until I'm literally getting on a plane and going off on my honeymoon. I'm going to do a series of polls to kind of round out the series.
Nice.
About, you know, kind of bigger issues so we can look back on the full series. So you've got that to look forward to. But until our next episode, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Kelly Rickard.
We're done.
We are done. I'm done.
Softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.